They told me the kind of work that your father did, the dairy and then the pot factory, right? Now, what languages were spoken in your home?
Well, Yiddish was a spoken language, but the elders spoke Polish, Lithuanian, and there was a lot of Lithuanians. Working for this Polish landowner.
Now, what kind of schooling did you have in Europe?
Well, in Europe, I had three hours. My mother was taught us first at what is the prayer book, how to read the prayer. And later on, we went to, my sister and I went to a fail.
Now, do you remember anything about your synagogue? What the synagogue in your town was like?
Oh, yes, there were three synagogues. There was the Crossing Bottom of Russian. I was Medalish, if this is anything. And closed, where they could come and learn the elders and the yeshiva books. And here there was the world that come and learn, speak and learn. And the shul where they were overflowing. Cousin and his core and so forth, and the high holidays and so forth.
Do you remember what your relations were with non-Jewish people in your community? You said that they worked with your father.
Well, they were both very friendly, very respectable, and very friendly. And more than that, it happened that the girl's parents had to put the public there for the township, for the little place where the peasants lived. And twice a year it was fired and made hot for them for Christmas and Easter.
The only time they used it, you mean?
Yes, that's right. And it was my place where they fired it. But they brought water and put it up for them. This can be an addition to them. My brother would make Hebala for them when they came out with their children to drop them away.
What are Hebala?
Hebala is for them.
And ginger, the ginger.
Ginger things, ginger cake. Candy, I suppose.
Oh, to give them a treat.
Yes. So that was a very close one for me.
Now, did your father, as far as you know, belong to any political organizations or Zionist or Bund or Socialist or Labor Union or anything? Do you remember what the relationship of the government was of your country to the Jews?
Well, it was the Americans and the people that came out trying to live on the land. This was one that made the family go away, and the rest, of course, were depression, oppression of the city. And
what did you do?
There was a case of, that's a little history again, my two brothers were in the army, and then the older one was at first, and then they were. But he came out the other one way, and it was the Russian Japanese war. And while my brother was already back, he took me back from his division was ordered for the war. even though it wasn't in the same thing, but he followed these.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to want his sons to desert the Tsar. But it so happened that in Borisov, which is very close to us, was a pogrom. And my mother said that her sons are not going to be in the, to the war. So
when
the Tsar, when there was a pogrom,
so how did he get out?
Well, he deserted and he stole the border to Germany. And well, the brother went first, which I had married, in Warsaw.
He went to Warsaw?
He was married and he lived in Warsaw.
Yeah. So where
did he go? But when he was a killer,
yeah. So when he left there, he came to America?
Yes, but you were the one after they were out from the war,
yeah,
from the service. They were out of the, I don't know what you call it, in the reserve.
Yeah.
So he was called too over in the reserve. So he went before his mother got up to.
You say when he went to America?
So he went to America, that's right.
All right, now what did you think about America at that time?
Well,
before,
I was a little girl, and I didn't think anything, I just listened.
The only thing you had heard was of your brother killing.
I heard of the boy, he was despised, and he didn't, and that you weren't allowed to see him before he left, because little girls made, blood around.
Yeah. Now, why did you leave the country then?
When we left was in 1977, in 1905, and in 1906, my older brother, who was married, took his wife and two little girls to America, and my older sister went in the same time, and boys here figure out that they'll take the baby up, and when they take the baby up, the parents, then they'll make them come too. Because my father was reluctant to go to America, it wasn't for me.
So
pious.
So who did you come with then?
With my parents. I was left with them, but she was young, a year and a half younger, and had the baby, their father.
Oh, that was your sister. And so that's the why you came to the United States.
Yes,
when the parents came to follow the rules.
That's the why. And then, of course, my mother was a very thinkable person. My father was very religious, and he thought, this is where God is, and this is where he's got to remain there. But she said that there is no future for the family. And she stuck to it, that, and it came to a degree where she had to call him to the board.
Mm-hmm.
To settle this question, because she wanted to come, and he was afraid over here in Shabbos. Shabbos is not to
keep him
shut. Mm-hmm. So the Rav told him that don't be afraid, and the rabbis in there are the Jews, and whoever wants to keep can keep, and they're sure, and so forth.
Did you have a definite destination here when you came?
We had here in Pittsburgh, all my brothers and my two sisters, and the oldest brother did come in Pittsburgh. He was in Pennsylvania, housing in the shape of. That's where he took his wife and the
Now, were you part of the group traveling together from Europe, or just your family?
Just our family.
Who all then was left to come with it? You and your parents and
we left one brother, the youngest, 16 years old, because there wasn't enough for all of us to go. So in the half a year he came. They bought a ticket and came with me later.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you remember how you traveled from your hometown?
Well, from my hometown, we traveled by train. Through Kenigsburg and then to Bremen. And in Bremen, we waited a whole week for the boat, something you do with the boat. The boat was the Bremen board.
Brandenburg, huh?
Mm-hmm. Which came right to the Baltimore.
And you remember if anybody met you in Baltimore, any individuals or any other
people? Well, yes, there were people who met, and I don't know exactly because the parents took care of these things, but they were around so that they came to give advice and so forth. In the same time, there were a lot of warnings for others who were misled or something like that, or charged, or shouldn't have been charged. Well, there were always cases like that.
So you would then alert them for it?
Yeah, that's right.
Now, do you remember whether your family brought any objects or papers along with them to the United States?
Well, it seems like we were on the boat 21 days.
Mm-hmm.
And we came in the summer to Baltimore, and never did my father have no money in his summer, but he had some coins and a handkerchief. And we came off the boat, there were colored people selling bananas, and he wanted to pay them, he wouldn't have, so he gave them the handkerchief to pick out for themselves a handkerchief for them. And they did, they knew on that, I suppose. Baltimore,
but as far as any documents or papers or things from your home, bringing over candlesticks or things like that.
Oh, yes. Park. He says from my mother's grave from the country.
after having lived in the United States for 5 years, did you feel that you had accomplished or would eventually accomplish your goal in coming here?
Well, no accomplishment never happened, but very fine treatment I had. To begin with, as a little girl, 1907 was a very hard, they called it crisis, now they call it depression. And all I heard was crisis, crisis, you know, which meant the economical crisis.
Is that one of the reasons why your parents came here?
For their first
in Europe, or even
no,
came here?
No, in America. Uh-huh. Right, in Pittsburgh, right here. And we had a family here who were very good to us. They were already American, established in a way. The name was Trelisky and Cohn. They're old-timers in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. There's a doctor.
Sadie Trelisky.
Well, Sadie Trelisky, her parents were. They were decent cousins to my mother and father. And when they left to America, my mother said they wanted cousins. So these are the people that actually made it the first to bring us over, bring the first of us brothers over. But anyways, this Mr. Cohen had a ladies' tailor shop. He was the foremost ladies' tailor in Pittsburgh, for the 400 as the call, as to say, very, very best. And he thought to me that he took my sister in too. She worked there, and then he took me in too. And used me as a little errand girl, or pastings and stuff like that, but just the same, he gave me $7 a week, which was turned over to home.
Now, when you said you never did accomplish your goal when coming here, what why did you say that? What was your goal?
It wasn't a goal that was expressed in a direct something known, but you know.
Just a little bit outside your expectations.
Yeah.
All right, now you told me your first home in this area was on Lombard Street. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what it was like? Was it a whole house?
It was a house that the kitchen was down
the basement
on a hill, and to go up to the living room and to live in the dining room was a flight of stairs, and to go out to the bedroom was another flight of stairs. But the kitchen was down all the way down. If you were acquainted with all that, you could remember what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But this was as I heard people talk, it was an ordinance by that time from the city, I suppose, that every house should have a toilet and a bathing.
So this did have indoors?
This had downstairs in the cellar. Mm-hmm. It had a toilet, and it had a bathing, just the
tub
water. That just the tub water had to be heated and so forth. But the tub was there. But as I heard them speak, it was just a new ordinance.
And do you know how long you lived there?
Oh, about a year and a half, something like that.
And you said your brothers had arranged to get that apartment, that house, before you came,
yeah,
right?
Now,
you told me the kind of work that you did when you first came here in the Combs tailor shop, so you didn't have to get any training for that work. And you told me you earned $7
a week. $7 a week and sort of an accommodation.
Mm-hmm. And what were your hours that you worked
from? 8 to 6, 6 days a week.
So that means you had to work on Saturday?
Yes.
Yeah. And holidays, Jewish holidays too, or were you off?
Yes.
How long did you
face, which my father had never built?
Mm-hmm. How long did you stay at the Combs tailor shop working?
Oh, about four years,
huh? Did you belong to any kind of trade union when you were working there?
There was no trade union at that time.
And your life's work became your marriage and your own family, huh? Now, if you could have lived this part of your life over again, these first few years when you first started work, was there another kind of work that you would have liked to have gone into?
Well, of course.
What would you like?
Well, I'd like to really elaborate a little bit on those years. With the colonial council did a good deed for us youngsters.
What did
the colonial council was before the IKC was built?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they welcomed us and they took youngsters like, of course I happened to be the youngest amongst them. It so happened like that. But they took younger people who came here and they wanted to Americanize them. And they did it, by the way. There was a Miss Reed and Miss Brown, and they had a choir. And we sang in English, but we didn't even understand the word. But it penetrated. It left a very good feeling for both, for the harmony and for the English language and for some of the songs that were sung and we never heard.
But is there, of work that you would have liked to have done? Were you interested in
later on, I went to night school, and when I went to night school, I met another girl there, and we started to sort of plan a better
What night school did you go to? You
two Fred night school.
Now, when was this? Was this before you were married?
1910.
And is that where you learned to speak English and write English, or had you already learned to speak before you started?
We learned all along, in the shop, and the
shop in the street. But to write English, you didn't learn that at school?
Night school.
Now, did you have any non-Jewish classmates in your classes at night school?
Oh, there were all kinds. Yeah, there were all kinds. Most of them Jewish classmates. If you all got acquainted and talked Jewish,
But
there were others.
But you didn't socialize with any of the non-Jewish.
There was no question of socializing. We couldn't communicate.
Mm-hmm.
We got through, we weren't told, but it was interesting to see about 7 o'clock how a throng of people went to school. Just like they were, it gave some place to
an activity.
To a ballroom, I suppose, would be the closest.
Yeah. You didn't have to go to Taylor anymore, any Hebrew education here already.
Okay.
Did you like music? Did you go play any musical instruments or go to concerts?
Well, I'll tell you.
The choir you told me about.
The choir, but later on there were more people came, and these youngsters were different than the ones. The former generation, they were already revolutionary, came from the Russian Revolution of 1905, and their whole outlook of life was worldly, and they would get together as a social group, and they would, they had to be very alone, but at that time they also had
Did you attend lectures at the workman's circle?
Yes.
Do you remember where they put on the either shows?
The one in San Radio and the Dialogue Hall or something like that. Mm-hmm. But the big deal of people, the big deal of groups, and by the way, I have pictures of whole groups.
Oh,
yes.
Would you like to
classic music, classical music, and they attended a great deal of that, like to the exposition. They go to exposition almost every day.
And this was the same group from the Workman's Circle that you were talking about?
Yeah. The exposition, they changed every week. They had a different conductor, like Gamrosch and Ginsberg.
That's an exhibition
hall?
Exposition hall.
Yeah. This was a place where, and then from down, further down even, I've been with a whole bunch of people to Carnegie Hall to listen to the organ recital, and also have a museum while there and so forth. They already have a new outlook of life, art and music, and something like that.
So
and then there was a little orchestra and a Sharon Lawn,
And you went to listen to them?
And we went to them for very little number. The conductor of the name was Kohler. That's crazy about me. The youngsters can get some time.
Now, so then you went to the library when you came to the museum.
Which one is this and which one is that.
So you were more attracted to that kind of thinking,
huh? Oh, yeah.